fighting for America.
It is clear that the intent of Congress was to make sure that every eligible American had access to those tax credits.
But we have to pass the bill so that you can find out what is in it.
Fighting for Idaho.
I'm really disgusted at all the hoopla and the noise that has been made because of Tony Dungy's comments.
I'm shocked that you don't see the problem here. I'm truly, utterly shocked.
Get over it.
Fighting for you.
The Bilderberg meetings are not open to the public, are they?
Who cares? It's not going to change nothing. So, Mark, come back to Earth and talk about the top.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
How about some common sense?
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And good morning, K Millie in the morning, 580 KIDO. Thank you all for joining us. We appreciate it. We're joined now by political strategist Travis Hawks. Travis, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Good to have you with us here at 580 KIDO. Let's talk a little bit about the state of play here post-primary in the Republican Party. How do you see things playing out?
Well, you know, obviously, it's been a little more eventful summer than I think we're used to. But, you know, I think all this will get resolved soon and we can get past it. And that will be, you know, that'll be in everyone's best interest. I think it'll be important, you know, to try and unify everyone so that we can focus on winning elections in November.
How was your thoughts on the primary? You know, you have a popular, could be three-term governor going up against a party challenger. I know the Republican Party, Travis, says they like primaries, but that does add a level of difficulty. What was that like being inside, working for the governor, and being on the trail, if you will?
Yeah, you know, we were able to help the governor on the fundraising side. We weren't really involved on the strategy with the governor, but you know, I do think primaries are good. I think that they can get more people involved and keep people accountable. And, you know, I think that the governor had a good plan to go out and execute on the campaign strategy and also conserve, you know, resources for the general election and was able to win. I mean, it can be, you know, these primaries can be bumpy. I mean, I was involved, you know, a lot in the Mike Simpson, Brian Smith primary, and that got, you know, pretty ugly at times. And those primaries can be bumpy and cause, you know, some hard feelings to people on each side. But I think what sometimes is missing a little bit for us here in Idaho and where we need to improve is, you know, coming together after those primaries and, you know, having a unified vision to beat Democrats and not lose, you know, the great standing we have in the state of, you know, having every elected constitutional officer and a large majority of the legislature.
Well, I was going to say that's easier said than done. You know, I when feelings are hurt, when people spend money, then all of a sudden saying, you know, such and such is the better person for the good of the party. Is that easier said than done?
You know, I think it definitely can be easier said than done, you know, deep in the trenches, because, you know, it can get personal and people invest a lot in it and, you know, both time and money and part of what makes our process great is that, and the more people involved in caring, I think that's only positive. I think what we don't want is a Republican Party that's on cruise control that nobody cares about or is paying attention to. And so I do think there's more good than bad, but it certainly can, you know, it can be hard. And I've been through that, you know, myself, you know, working on the Romney campaigns. You know, you come out of, when we came out of that primary and lost, I mean, it was, you know, it was hard. And I, you know, had some hard feelings towards Governor Huckabee for a while, you know, after that primary and after, you know, some things that,
sure,
that happened, but you kind of got to get over it and recognize that everyone's, you know, working towards what they think is best.
Travis Hawks with us here, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. What's at stake coming up for both political parties in November?
Well, you know, I think that, you know, what's at stake is really, you know, can can the current pattern be maintained, or will, you know, the Democrats make some gains? I mean, obviously there's a couple of the constitutional officers that are going to be in play, and it's an opportunity for the Democrats to pick up one of those, and for the Republicans, I think it's difficult maintaining this large majority, and as demographics change and as things change, you know, it's going to become more difficult, which I think is all the more reason for the importance of unity, because I think that, you know, holding this kind of supermajority, you know, if you will, is going to become more difficult over time. And so that's kind of what's at stake is, you know, can the Republicans maintain or increase, you know, their ground, or do they give up a little bit in this election?
Well, what is the mood when you talk to folks that, you know, are ready to come together, and you have, you know, this show obviously is a microphone for other folks that say, look, we want people to come to the table. We have our issues. We need folks on the other side to do it. It's almost like there could be three political parties in the state.
Yeah, and that's something that I think we've got to get corrected, and I think that, you know, for a lot of average you know, voters that maybe aren't you know, in the trenches, weren't up at the convention, you know, aren't really involved in the central committees and things like that, I think there's, you know, a certain sense of frustration of, you know, they're ready for this to be off the front page of the paper and ready to, you know, move on, and I think that, you know, I think we're just in an environment, and it's a lot of why, you know, nationally we see an anti, you know, incumbent environment and a frustration with, you know, with politics and the low approval for Congress and those things. I think a lot of that is tied into just the frustration of people, you know, having the sense that, you know, the job isn't getting done, and, you know, they want less fighting and grandstanding and more, you know, accomplishments, more, you know, getting things done and doing the job. And I think that frustration that we kind of see nationally has trickled down a little bit, you know, recently on, you know, for the state because of those issues. But all that being said, I think that once we get past it and it's resolved, you know, it'll kind of fall to the side and won't be an issue when people are voting in November.
How big of a challenge do you think it will be from the Baluchov campaign? I mean, the governor has been involved in politics. He's very well liked. No one will outwork him. His opponents say that. I've seen it on the trail. You've been involved on the trail with him. No one will outwork Governor Otter, but how significant is the challenge from A.J. Baluchov?
Well, I mean, first of all, I always, you know, feel like you've got to take every challenge seriously, and you never take for granted what voters are going to do, because voters, you know, there can always, it's, you don't want to turn a you know, brush fire into a forest fire. And so you've always got to be careful about that. And AJ is you know, well respected in the circles where people know him. That being said, I mean, he does have an uphill challenge to tell his story and let people know who he is and make a case, you know, for why he should be elected over, you know, governor that's very popular, that, you know, has kept the state on the rails during a terrible recession and now is presiding over some good economic growth and improvement in employment numbers and things like that. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of campaign they run. It's certainly an uphill battle for them, and I've been surprised that they've, you know, spent time talking about, you know, attacking the NRA and social issues and things like that, because that doesn't seem like the, you know, the message that is going to lead them to victory.
Travis, you've been involved with the politics. How big of an issue will education be? AJ does have a background there. It seems with the addition of Mike Lanza, that's going to be one of the focal points. How big of an issue is that in the campaign?
Well, I think it potentially can be the main issue, because, you know, education is something that really can, you know, transcend, you know, party lines. And, you know, most voters are concerned about education, and we have, you know, a lot of families and big school districts here in the state. And so, you know, obviously I'm sure part of their calculus of winning is convincing the, you know, the young families, the soccer moms, if you will, that normally vote Republican, you know, to switch over based on education. So I think there'll be a lot of talk about it. I think that, you know, Governor Otter has done a good job in talking about that issue as well, and presenting, you know, some of his own, you know, plans and solutions. And, you know, again, I think it's only positive that, you know, that's a campaign issue, because it is a critical issue for our state and future economic development and economic growth in our state.
What about the state school superintendent's race? Mr. Luna will not be running for reelection. We have two new candidates. Does that help or hurt the overall ticket that we have somebody new running for the Secretary of State as a Republican there, Sherry Ibarra?
Well, you know, I think that it really can help both sides from a turnout perspective. I mean, I think that the Democrats, you know, definitely feel like they've got a shot to win that, and so that, you know, certainly has the potential to energize their turnout. But on the same side, I think the Republicans, you know, see that and know that that is a possible vulnerability, and so that can increase the turnout for them. So I think both sides would tell you they feel good about, you know, that opportunity. But the reality was, you know, that's been such a heated, contested race for the last couple of cycles anyway. You know, I don't know that it's going to be much different than it's been.
Yeah, it is interesting, though. You have that race, then you have, again, the Secretary of State's race. How do you see that one? Are those the two vulnerable seats because you don't have incumbents on the Republican side?
Yeah, I think anytime you don't have an incumbent, there's added vulnerability, just because, you know, a large part of it is name ID, and that's, you know, it's kind of ironic at times that there's, you know, a general anti-incumbent mood, but incumbents, you know, nationally, but most of the incumbents, you know, continue to win. And it's always an uphill battle for a challenger from a name ID perspective. And also you've got to make both a case against the incumbent and the case for yourself. And so it's just a harder threshold. So with these being open seats, it certainly, you know, levels the playing field, and some of those natural advantages of incumbency aren't on the table. And so, you know, those are both seats that, you know, Republicans have got to pay attention to and help get out the vote on you know, can't take for granted.
How big an issue is money in running campaigns? You know, if money were the only thing, we'd be talking about the election and re-election of President Forbes back in the mid-90s. But how significant is money in today's political world?
Well, I mean, it is, you know, it really depends on the race, you know, and the thing with some of these down-ballot races, you know, that we're talking about, a lot of times there's not substantial money put in those races, and that is part of the challenge, you know, of beating an incumbent or getting name ID out. You know, certainly when you're looking at a, you know, a governor's race and national races, you know, money is important, because money helps you, you know, deliver your message, you know, through mail, through television, you know, through digital, through those things. But as you pointed out, it's certainly not the only thing, and you've got to have a good candidate and the right messaging as well. And we see cases all the time where the less funded candidate, you know, wins, and we saw that in Virginia with the Cantor race. And so, you know, if you look at that second congressional district race with Simpson and Smith, because of the outside groups that came in, there ended up being close to $5 million was spent on that race. And so at the end of the day, it was the, you know, the TV stations and the radio stations that really enjoyed that race.
Reminds me of a radio or a TV station at WMUR in Manchester, New Hampshire. They actually have a wing called the Steve Forbes wing because he spent so much money.
Yeah, and you know, I've been out to Iowa and New Hampshire, you know, during primary season, mm-hmm. and Florida and some of these other places, and it's incredible. I mean, it's literally when the TV is on, it is every single commercial, you know, is a political commercial, and it's pretty interesting to see. And yeah, at the end of the day, the people that benefit are those radio station and TV station owners. They love the political season.
Travis, please stand by. More coming up with our friend Travis.
Getting more done before sunrise than anyone. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
KIDO, K. Miller in the morning. Travis Hawks joining us, talking about, well, his two jobs. Number one, a political analyst, political consultant, a political fundraiser. Before I get to talk to you about college football season and the business of college football, can you share some of your experiences of being on the trail? I've lived it at the national level, but for people listening right now, coming in on the connector, what was it like for you to be in Iowa, New Hampshire, Florida, at the epicenter of the political process?
You know, it was tremendous. You know, being in Iowa for the caucus and just seeing, you know, that whole experience. I mean, I had the opportunity to do some really cool things. I mean, I knocked on doors in New Hampshire and helped get out the vote in those states and saw the retail, you know, politicking that goes on in those places. And, you know, it just was incredible experiences and, you know, had the opportunity to go back to the convention in Tampa and be a delegate, opportunity to ride in the motorcade with Governor Romney, on the campaign, working with the Secret Service and those types of things. I mean, it was just a lot of really amazing opportunities. And I'll tell you, you know, when you're in those places and seeing and talking to voters, you realize that there is kind of two political worlds. I mean, there's this 24/7 news cycle political world, but there are, you know, millions of voters who are dealing with real problems and real issues that want to cut through that noise and try and do what's best for their own family. And so, you know, there's parts of the political process that make you kind of lose faith in the process and in America, but that's a part that restores your faith in America and the voters. It's awesome.
You know, the next time we have you on, we'll have to ask you about the political freak show when you kind of bump into Bill Kristol and he's just like, here's a guy you see on network TV and he's just an ordinary person until the lights come on. But I have to get back to something else. College football season starting. You've got the Blue and Orange Stores, nationally recognized a few years ago for figuring out just how viable the Broncos would be, mentioned in Sports Illustrated. Are you surprised at the businessification? I know it's not a word, but the businessification of college football?
You know, I don't think I'm surprised by it. You know, I think it's just kind of a train that can't be stopped at this point. And I think that with the value of the media rights and the value of live sporting events, you know, it's going to get, you know, it's only going to get more that way. So, you know, it's certainly a evolving and changing process. It's worth a lot of money to these TV networks and to the colleges themselves and to folks like Nike. And, you know, I just don't know how it could have been avoided because of the sheer dollars that are coming in the door, you know, through that ecosystem.
When you bring in folks to the Blue and Orange Store, former players and players, and you see the reaction of the fans, there's an innocence that maybe it could be lost again with the bigger and bigger business model of college football.
Yeah, I think that's a danger, and I think that's not even just in college sports. I mean, I think even with the NFL and some of the things they're doing, I mean, it's, you know, you got to be careful not to kill the golden goose and you know, kind of, you know, ultimately kind of, you know, disenchant or disenfranchise people because, you know, the business aspect becomes you know, so much more than, you know, than the love of the game and the excitement of the game. But, you know, the sports are popular. I mean, college football is extremely popular nationally. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see how things play out. I mean, obviously one issue that everyone's dealing with right now is attendance and can you, you know, can you motivate people to go to the games where they may not have good cell service or Wi-Fi and they can't post on Instagram and their choice is to sit home and watch a 60-inch flat screen with surround sound and eat and drink whatever they want and watch multiple games at once. And so, you know, there's as much money as coming in, there's definitely challenges, ahead as well.
How do you see the season for the Broncos?
You know, I think the season is going to be good. You know, I like Coach Harsin a lot. That was obviously a great hire. And, you know, the energy that the new coaching staff, has brought, I think everyone can feel that. And so I think we're in good shape that way. And ultimately, the majority of our hardest games this year are at home. And so that should bode well for us. So I'm optimistic we'll have a really good season this year.
Well, from a marketing perspective, Travis, and this will be the last question. It's good to see that they're back on national television with the big game against Ole Miss. Big for us here, but from a marketing perception, to get one of those big games, usually you have to be from one of the power conferences. So to get that attention, win or lose, the Broncos are still winning on that front.
Yeah, no question. I mean, that brand, you know, has been built through, you know, a lot of exciting games and high-scoring games and then really, you know, taken to another level, obviously, with that first Fiesta Bowl. So it's a great opportunity. I mean, yeah, Boise State playing in the Chick-fil-A kickoff game, you know, here for the second time when that game has, you know, traditionally been, you know, SEC and ACC teams, you know, it's a great opportunity and people nationwide, I mean, we all have stories of wearing our Boise State gear, you know, in other parts of the country and people immediately, you know, are drawn to that, want to talk about the blue turf and the Oklahoma game and the offense and those types of things. And so that's, it's a very valuable brand that has done great things for the university, but also for our city and state. From a recognizable standpoint.
Travis, thank you for your time. We'd love to have you back.
Okay, thanks for having me.
All right, Travis Hawks with us. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO. Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men,
men, men, men, manly men.
580 KIDO. Kevin Miller in the morning, live from Lionheart Tactical here on State Street, right by Merritt's. We'd love to see you stop by. We've got the Miller Militia coming out. I maybe even Jim from Star. But if you go to our Facebook site, you'll see the list of everyone that's coming out. The only one here that we wish were here was our friend Robin, who's, I have to tell you, I'm getting addicted to your Quiznos traffic reports where you go, tasty.
It's toasty.
Toasty, tasty.
Toasty.
See, toasty, tasty. See,
it works.
It doesn't take much to get you motivated early in the morning. Just your inflection really gets us going. How are you this morning?
I'm good. I'm good. A little tired, but I'm, you know, it's Friday, so it's going to be good.
Now, did you have a gig last night?
No, but I've got one tonight and tomorrow night.
All right. Well, joining us now is Robin and the gigs. We'll be at Big Al's, and then we'll be in Caldwell. Da, 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 da.
No, actually, tomorrow night we'll be at Helena Marie's Wine Bar in Star.
Ah, Star, Idaho.
The big star.
I know exactly where that is, yeah. Home of Kevin Miller, Governor Otter, Russ Smurs, Jim from Star, Jim from Star's father-in-law.
Uh-huh.
Are you a big Kiss fan?
I like Kiss, yes. I'm not a huge Kiss fan, but I definitely like Kiss.
Well, Kiss is going to do, what, 9 days in Vegas coming up in November?
Wow.
Yeah, how brilliant is Gene Simmons with the marketing? And, you know, you watch the Gene Simmons Family Jewels and everything else, and I would watch that show just to get inside his mind. And you think about Kiss, and here they are, guys in their 60s. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No.
And they're still performing,
And because of the makeup, you don't know how old they are. And, you know, you would think running the Kiss Empire would be enough. So they've got this 9-day, 10-day extravaganza in Vegas. They're starting another reality show talking about the Kiss LA Kiss, the arena football team. Huh. That's another reality show. And gosh knows what else. But I'm trying to think, would you ever take a look and go see them live?
Yeah, I would enjoy that.
Yeah, so you've never seen them live?
I haven't, no.
Yeah. I would think about that, but I would be afraid because they're pretty pretty manly guys.
You think they'd beat you up?
No, I think the crowd would beat me up.
Oh, okay.
And you remember when we were growing up, it was the Kiss Army. Yeah, the Kiss Army.
Right.
Yeah. Now you try to do that today, they go, what?
And you're wearing makeup, huh?
Hey, the best Halloween costume I had was old, tired Gene Simmons. It was never young, good-looking Gene Simmons. It was bloated face Gene Simmons. Imagine doing a conservator talk show on a television station and a radio station dressed up in your Kiss makeup. Now, that is a character stretch, Robin.
I would like to see that. Are there pictures?
Well, somewhere, yes, because you never get rid of anything on the Internet. So somewhere, yes. So we've got Kiss going on. By the way, we're inviting people to stop by and see us at Lionheart Tactical on State Street. We've got a lot of guests coming up, and we're giving away tickets to Big and Rich. Are you pumped up about Big and Rich?
Save a horse, ride a cowboy.
Is that your favorite song?
Of all time, yes.
No, of Big and Rich.
I love that song. They have several good songs, but that's right. The one that sticks out most.
I suppose if you're not really into it, that's what everybody would say.
Okay.
Not as into it as Kevin Miller.
Yeah, well, what's your favorite song?
I would say Big Time.
Big Time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, you see, you know, you may be a musician, but I'm a musician supporter. You ever meet somebody that, well, yes, but, you know, you missed that third lick on the A chord there, and you really should take it to the next level. Dude, can you carry a tune? No, I can't carry a tune, but still.
There are those, but actually it seems like there's a lot more people that maybe are not musical, but they love music. So
yes.
That's nice. They don't know anything about it. They don't notice when you mess up. They just enjoy it. That's
right,
great.
Right. And when you're at the Wine Bar and Star this weekend, have a lot of wine.
Oh, I will.
You won't see the slip-ups. I was talking to the folks. You.
Oh,
you need
okay.
To have a coffee.
You know me too well.
Anyway, at 580K Audio, the show is September 5th. Big and Rich, it's going to be big. I like Big Time coming to your city.
Oh, yeah.
The 8th of November with that intro by Kris Kristofferson.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and here's the cool thing about those guys is, well, you're a musical person. You're a musical person. GAC, you ever heard of GAC? And even if you haven't, just say, oh, yes, I watch it all the time, Kevin.
Of course I have. Great American Country.
There you have it.
Thank you.
That's why... You are our rock star. You're our shining star so early in the morning, Robin.
Yeah.
And, you know, we wish you were here. We'd hook you up with an AR-15 to walk around with. You could patrol the perimeter.
Do you look as tough with one of those when you're eating a scone at the same time? I'm just asking.
Look, I don't really look tough at all. I wanted to be Chuck Norris, and I'm more like Peter Sellers. So I've just accepted my fate.
Give you a room.
Exactly. Does your dog bite? But, so I'm sitting there, boy, my goodness gracious, going back and forth with the Pink Panther. You know, my wife does not like the Pink Panther.
Aw. Well,
I wonder if she's really from this country. How can you not like Peter Sellers?
Well, it's some of the, I don't know, when you haven't, how old is your wife?
She's in our age range.
Okay.
See, she's like a young soul. I am like an old soul, as you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know,
deep.
I hang, well, yes, deep, shallow, naive.
Whatever.
Self-absorbed. Yeah, so she doesn't like the Pink Panther, I can't believe. Doesn't like the old Batman series. One of these TV shows, IFC, is actually running the old Adam West, Burt Ward Batman series. By the way, Batman celebrated its 75th anniversary yesterday.
Oh, wow.
75 years of Batman. So I'm jumping all over. Let me get back to this. GAC actually did a special where Big and Rich went back to Vietnam with the guy that gave Big Kenny his hat and filmed some of the places where he had been held, where that hill had happened. Then, remember, they had that big fundraiser for that infantry unit that almost got overran, that they write about and sing about on 8th of November. So they're pretty deep guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you ever that deep, Robin?
Some,
what about you?
Times.
You know, I think that you should do a song. I'd like to dedicate this to the best ever talk show host in the morning, Kevin Miller.
Well, we'll have to call it K-Millie.
K-Millie. Well, you know, there's already a song. And, you know, since you're going to be here for another week, we're actually going to let you judge the Two Fly By K-Millie theme song. We have songs. You know, I was hoping that you would, you know, sing a couple songs, you know, a couple original songs that you could write up today and sing at the Star Wine Cooler Bar.
All About You?
Why not?
And maybe my experiences so early in the morning with you.
Do a little, yes. Oh, my gosh, he wants to talk to me. Oh, my gosh, he's gone from Ben Affleck to Peter Sellers to Adam West. What is going on with this guy?
Does he know that
just
I'm here
Just laugh.
Today?
Hold on. Just laugh, and let's get through the segment. We'll be doing traffic soon.
Oh, thank goodness.
I'm just going over your thoughts.
Yes, I'm... It's Friday. You're not too far off. I'm sorry.
It is Friday. At 580 KIDO, we're here at Lionheart Tactical. Robin is back at the command center. Do you watch TV a lot?
Yeah, too much. Yeah.
Well, apparently it's not good for you. According to a new study, when you get home and if you're on the computer, if you're on the TV, it leads to depression.
Depression?
Doesn't relax you. The study published in the Journal of Communication found that people who were highly stressed after work did not feel relaxed or recovered when they watched TV or played computer games. Instead, they had high levels of guilt and feelings of failure. Look, a 8-piece fried chicken set from Albertsons cures that, my friends.
Well, I thought you were just going to say that watching too much TV and sitting too much was going to make me have a heart attack or bad circulation or something, not depression.
Yeah, so that explains a lot about me, you know, but I think this is just by the environmentalist propagandists. Well, you should go out and go for a walk. Why? It's too hot.
Oh, exactly.
What's the purpose of that? You know, go for a bike ride. Why? Might get hit by a car.
Yeah, I might sweat.
Exactly. And it's Sweaty Robin. We don't want to talk about that this morning.
No, we do not want to talk about that this morning.
Right, so the idea of watching television, boy, the folks at the network, well, this explains why no one's watching television anymore. Well, maybe put something good on.
Well, we canceled our satellite. We've just got Netflix and Amazon Prime, and, you don't get to watch everything, but a lot of the stuff is available, most of the stuff available, at least on the internet.
I think television is an escape.
Oh, I agree.
Are you ever addicted to one thing? I can remember one time I was at a place... And somebody kept talking to me, and I looked at him and I go, hey, I don't have much in life. I got my dogs, and I got, pardon the interruption, and I really like it when Tony and Mike yell at each other. So if you could, please give me this half hour where I can escape the misery of my life or the perceived misery of my life, and I'm very blessed to have a great life, but still, please, shh, 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 shh.
Did they move away from you at that point?
That relationship really didn't work out well.
I'm moving out then.
Yeah, they had to go in a different direction. So,
yeah, exactly.
I hate it when that happens.
Anyway. Yeah.
So we've got that going on. Big announcement, as you just heard from Channel 7. Of course, we had it 75 days ago, thanks to Facebook. Big Ed gets the boot from Fox. And the other guy that wants to do the whoosh, rocket gets the boot from Fox. They say they don't have enough time. I got to tell you, I don't think that Fox wants the liability associated with Big Ed trying to be Evel Knievel 40 years later, or the other guys trying to be Evel Knievel with the actual rocket sled 40 years later. Liability, liability. It's one thing to have the Red Bull guy drive up a ramp in Vegas. It's another thing to jump the Snake River Canyon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You probably watched it on YouTube, Robin. You don't remember Evel Knievel, but for old souls like me, Evel Knievel was a daredevil. We had the Evel Knievel action figures. We had all these things going on. I'm sure you've read about Evel Knievel, right?
In my history books, yes, I've read about Evel Knievel.
And I mean, I don't know, have you had any gigs in Twin Falls at all?
I've had gigs near Twin Falls, but not Twin yet. But we're going to expand here soon. We're going to start branching out.
Sure. And when I take over the management of your band, because I think I can take you places you haven't been, you and your husband.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah, I think so. We're going to talk about a percentage. It'll be fair. Probably a 70-30 split.
Well, you know, we make a lot of money, so that'll be no problem.
Yeah. Well, I was just thinking.
That was very facetious, by the way.
Well, I think they know that. This is a smart audience.
And you're always facetious.
I'm a smart blank, that's for sure.
Yeah,
but anyway.
Exactly.
At 580K IDO. I'm sitting here thinking about, but the Snake River Canyon, jumping that thing.
Yeah.
I mean, could they pay you enough money to do it?
That's, you know, unless you are willing to die, then no.
Right, but I mean, taking off in a rocket ship or what Big Ed's going to do. And Big Ed, you know, he's got a lot of miles on the odometer, number one. And number two, he's not exactly in trim, thin, fighting shape.
Good point.
So to do that would be darn right scary if you're a network, I think. I'll be surprised if they pull it off. What do you think? Do you think that he'll do it?
I don't know. I think probably when it comes down to it, no. Something will happen to prevent it.
Well, he says he's going to continue on. We'll see about that. Finally, Google is going to collect data on the human body. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know what data they'd want to collect on me. It's not very exciting stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking about that is what happens when you have indigestion or you just have that food that just doesn't go down the right way. Do they really want to know about that? I mean, don't you have some rights to privacy here?
Well, you would think that, you know, your bathroom distress, they really wouldn't want to know about, you know?
Right. Yeah, so that's what's going on with Google.
That's scary.
That and there's a new workout wristband that shocks you if you miss your workouts. I kind of like it for work. When people disappoint me,
wouldn't that be great?
Of course, with my luck, it'd be around my neck, and it would be
Yeah, exactly. It's a new management tool.
You mispronounced a word. Please don't hurt me, sir.
I didn't like that.
Yes, I didn't like that take, conservative slappy. Obama's great.
You know, that would actually be pretty entertaining.
Yes, as long as you weren't the guy getting shot.
Well, yeah, duh.
Well, Robin, it's time for traffic.
Really?
Our time together is over.
Already?
I know. I'll just have to catch you four times an hour.
All right. Well, and then Monday. We'll have Monday to look forward
to. Yes.